Make sure you're always, as an owner, as a manager, whatever, like you mentioned, SOP, standard operating procedures, continue to do those. And they're really, now with AI, they're so easy to create. So that way you've got some guidance, not only for yourself in the future, but for your VAs when you bring them on, right? So make sure you do that.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solenox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Solomon Williams. We have a special guest today. We have with Dave Braun. He's the CEO of Pro Website Creators and also the CFO of Chief Freedom Officer for Hire My VA. So Dave, welcome to the show. Glad to have you on. Can you tell to introduce yourself a little bit of yourself to our guest?
Yeah, thanks, Solomon. I appreciate being on here. CEO of Pro Website Creators and CFO, like you said, the Chief Freedom Officer of Hire My VA. So I started out being an engineer in a semiconductor company many, many, many years ago. And then what ended up happening is I ended up starting a couple of businesses, with one on my own, one with a business partner. And these are the businesses that we'll be talking about today, how we're using AI, et cetera. Married, have two kids, a grandchild. And one of my passions is I go into our local jails and do Protestant services for the inmates. So that's a blast.
Wow. And so with that, with your piece of going from the semiconductors on that side, what motivated your shift into more on getting into the app development, like a bit full scale on the website creation on the side? What prompted that?
That's a great question. And this was way before AI, although there's all kinds of automation that was done, but not in the sense of AI. When I was an engineering manager, I managed engineers across the globe. But as a manager, one of the things that you have to also still do is you have to make sure that you keep up with technology. And so one of the things that I did on the side is I did a couple of iOS apps. And then at some point, our company went bankrupt and I was out of a job, and then decided to go out on my own and do web development. And eventually that led to hiring some help overseas. And that turned into what Hire My VA is right now.
So because I know a lot of times you're hearing a lot of this, you know, and it's me, even as a founder, like it's a global market now, especially in this gig economy with other websites that now you can bring on virtual assistants. You have SDRs for software development representatives. So what brought you, because you've done this earlier, what made you consider like, hey, this is something I need to tap in before? Now it's commonly used but obviously you've took into it before, you know, it kind of became more mainstream. So what led you to that, to kind of have that realization?
That's a good question. So when I was starting on my own doing web development, I'm like, you know, I really miss being with the team. I really miss having some folks. But, you know, my business isn't at the point where at that time I could afford somebody in the United States. So I thought, well, let me try going to the Philippines and see what happens. And so I ended up hiring a virtual assistant, a general VA. She is still with me. And that was about 2015. She's been with me just over 10 years now. And she has grown. And we can talk about how she uses AI and what some of the critical components are of having team members who embrace AI. So I hired her as a general and then a couple of developers. And I came up with a bunch of techniques to really hire people well. And then started helping others, teach them how to hire people from the Philippines as well, because there's a lot of advantages going to there. But that morphed into what most people take advantage of now is what we call our white glove service, where we help you prepare for, hire, and thrive with a virtual assistant. And our tagline there is without breaking the bank. And that means your bank.
Right. I find it interesting on that, because I think even with me, I've had my virtual assistant from the Philly scenes as well, named Stella. She's been great on it, you know. And I think the piece is when I've worked with it, is making sure, one, I think the key part of it is it helps you to really understand your business, because you have to train someone brand new. So you need to make sure that you're having a standard of procedure, proper, you know, understand for them to be able to be help you, your business to be more effective and, you know, take some time off. So you can focus on the more important things. So with that, like, what would you say to others, like with hire my VA, like, what are some critical components to what you look for in teaching like clients that when they come on, how to best serve for VAs? Like, what do you have them to teach them in order for them to effectively educate those VAs? Does that make sense?
Yeah. That does make sense. So there's a couple of components to that, I would say, off the top of my head. One is make sure you're always, as an owner, as a manager, whatever, like you mentioned, SOP, standard operating procedures, continue to do those. And they're really, now with AI, they're so easy to create. So that way you've got some guidance, not only for yourself in the future, but for your VAs when you bring them on, right? So make sure you do that. But the second thing I would say is you've got to make sure that you're prepared to invest a little bit of time, because it's investing some time up front to get the great amount of time savings or expanded capability in your company on the back end. I mean, nothing comes for free. One of the problems that we see when we have people come and use our service is they wait until, I've got so much to do, my hair's on fire, you know? And if you magically expect somebody to come in and take over and do stuff like on day one, that's going to be a recipe for disaster. That's why we've structured our program the way we do, where the most important component of it is the thrive part. So in other words, a lot of services, they give you a virtual assistant, but then they say, see ya, bye-bye. But we're interested in making a difference in people's lives long-term, helping entrepreneurs. And so we have a thrive component where we meet with the entrepreneurs and the VA and make sure that they're like working together and synergistic. And we've got a bunch of tools and things like that to help them start off really well, but then to go on and continue as well with folks. So I guess that would answer your question.
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, and then with that, you know, you kind of put on that topic of as you're helping to transition, you know, you're bringing them more on how the clients, how to thrive. Just as you, just as, you know, being as the CEO and the Chief Freedom Officer on the side, what have you seen, like, now, like, what is your, you know, your day-to-day now as that CEO? And then how hands-on are you with the projects and the clients versus leading strategy and culture for your team?
Well, that's a great question. So I concentrate a lot on leading strategy and culture, right? And then it ends up being a balance between me allowing me to be more strategic and less tactical and less execution, but I still execute a lot. One of the great things, Solomon, about bringing somebody on like this is that, you know, you can kind of give them the stuff that you don't want to do, right? And so I am more in a position, I said, even though I could have one of my developer do something, it's like, wait a second, I want to do that. I'm going to have fun. Because, and that's one thing that people have to decide what they want out of their business. Do they want to grow it really big and take over the world? Or do they want to just have fun and make an impact? And you can do both of those things, but sometimes they can compete with each other. So for me, it is a little bit of a combination, but I concentrate more on making a difference for people and enjoying what I do.
Yeah. And I think that's the key part, because I think that even with me, like, coming through and with Solanox and so forth, it's been, you know, obviously, you know, you want your business to scale, but I've learned just with Bennett, first off, is business travels at the speed of trust. So, and, yeah, also, and
Stephen Covey.
Absolutely. And then it's also, I've really appreciated, and that's where I'm, you know, transitioning being more on the strategy side, is really working with, you know, with the partners, with the client, and really kind of seeing what value, what are the outcomes they're looking to have, and how I can implement and really be there for them rather than just selling the service. And I think that's the key part that I love, you know, and that I want to strive to have that. So, you know, with the saying, you know, with your, as you see with your clients, with the entrepreneurs, and especially with this time frame of with AI, with having to keep in, you know, now it's being more easier to help take the lift off the shoes. As you said, we want to have more time, take the mundane stuff and put it to others. Do you see entrepreneurs really prioritizing funnels and automation more today, like rather than, you know, what are you seeing in terms of in the future on how they're looking forward as time goes on, as these agents become more, you know, more advanced? Like, for example, I'm sure you've known in the website parts, if like now for a website for your, that now you can utilize the AI summaries like on Google. So I think that NASDAQ has a key part with SEO, with search engine optimization, with your search engine marketing. So with that new rise and that trend, how are you and your team keeping that in mind and staying ahead and on the trends?
Well, so one of the things that we do, and some my advice to some folks, because AI is, I mean, I think ChatGPT is coming up to a couple of years now or something like that. But it's still in its almost infancy, right? It's becoming a toddler. So one of the things that I think somebody has to decide how they're going to use AI, they're going to need to decide to use it. Do they want to, use it to add new capabilities or do what they're doing better and faster? Right. And you come at it with a couple of different, viewpoints there. But one of the things that I do, and I just started doing this recently, is I get a bunch of newsletters, AI newsletters. A lot of my other newsletters I ignore, but these I always read. And what I do is I allocate about an hour, hour and a half, once a week. I allocate about an hour and a half once a week, and I go through the newsletters and I summarize them. And then when I have my team meeting, we talk about those things. And then during the meeting, we might experiment with a couple of recipes or new tools. And what that's doing is getting the team used to seeing all the changes that are happening, helping them to want to embrace it and to start experimenting on their own. So when you talk about originally when we started about culture and stuff, that's kind of the culture that I'm trying to build in, is that using AI as your assistant. I want to help my team members be utilizing AI so that their work goes on steroids.
And I think that's the part where it's one, being able to educate your team on how to utilize proper prompting for the AI, but also I've realized that, and I think it's just because the misconception of all the hype that's going around with the AI that's going to take jobs, it's going to, you know, there's this fear, or maybe it's either an exaggeration or a disaster point. And I think at that point of, you have to really educate, you know, what I've educated with my client is really, this is a tool. This is the benefit. This is not to eliminate any roles. It's not to emulate. It's to help, as you said, put your productivity on steroids. So with that, I'm real curious, Dave, is on with the website design, with Procreate and with Hire My BA, like what has, especially with now implementing AI, what has been really working well for you and your clients right now?
Yeah, one of the things that's working well, a couple of things for us is, I mean, it helps us do coding quite a bit faster, right? But we still have to be able to understand what we want. So we've got to be thinking a little bit more in our minds as opposed to being a coder. We have to be thinking architect. And I think that's going to run across every field that's using AI. How are you going to architect it? Part of that architecture is, like you said, prompt. Another part of it is making sure you're able to test the output and integrate it together. And then when it doesn't do what you want, tell it appropriately. Right. So I guess a great way to look at that would be is just to have, you know, this kind of like you're a little bit of a dumb assistant on the side that you're working with. So my team is utilizing that and I'm utilizing that. And so it's allowing us to be a lot faster in responding to our clients in some of the changes that they want on their website, some of the custom features. That way that they want. I mean, that's one really, really great way that we're doing it. And then at some point when it comes to Hire My VA, we will probably use it to help us do some better screening of folks ahead of time. Because you can do that now with AI. You can have virtual interviewers ask certain questions, and we probably would do something like that. But we got to start being, you got to be careful of that, because one of the things that I'm going to start seeing, and I think you guys are going to see it, is a little bit of this AI blowback, is what I call it. You know what I mean? It's
Expound upon that. I'm curious.
Well, it's kind of similar, I think, to like social media. There's a lot of people who are like, I can't handle the negative stuff anymore, and I'm just getting off, right? I'm stopping to use it. I don't want to look at life through my phone. Schools now, for example, there's a ton of schools that are saying you can't even bring your smartphones to school anymore, right? They're prohibiting it because what they're finding, and they're finding, there's been some studies with AI as well, is that it's causing people to be a little bit dumber.
Really?
Right? And they're not learning as much with it. So that's where we've really, really got to be careful. And I've got to watch that in my own organization and myself as well.
Yeah, I think, as you said, you explained that it makes you, it sometimes takes away that creative thinking that we have on that side as a human, like on, you rely too much on it. And I really liked what you said, Dave, on the architecting of it, because that's in, and especially me is like coming from, you know, Microsoft architecture and stuff in like with cloud and with the infrastructure and so forth. That's the key part of where I have to put in from my experience previously into now with clients. And to kind of give you a little bit of knowledge of what we call, let's say if you're coming onto the cloud, you know, we call it a landing zone, and Azure is the cloud for Microsoft. So, you know, as an architect, I have to come in as a discovery call, of course, with anything else. I have to understand what's working, what's not, you know, what is your overall goal? And they're pillars. And so I've adjusted it. It might be a little bit different now with working with small to medium businesses, but now I'm implementing a different way of pillars of, you know, what's the outcome? And, you know, really it's all about me being curious about your business. What is the outcome? You know, what are the key parts of your business that you're looking, whether it's scaling, whether it's, you know, eliminating, making it more productive, internal work, whether that's content creation. So I look at it as pillars of where I'm thinking of. And in Azure, we think of resilience, like how do we take care of if anything breaks down, do we have backups? Do we have security in mind? Do we have policies in place and policies? So I take that level of thinking and I push that in. And I really liked what you said on that, because we have to look at that as an architect for our clients to really see the whole big picture and walk through as a partner together on that. So I love that piece of it, because it's something that I've been implementing with ours as well.
Yeah. And so, it's so important when you're approaching AI to make sure that you've got something in mind that it's like, hey, it should produce some output like this, and use it to have it tell you something that maybe you weren't quite sure of. Like, for example, I was just architecting a solution for a bagel shop on how to do catering and form fill out and all that stuff. And I asked it some questions, and it gave me some software out there. It's like, I didn't know about that. But I know based upon what it says and what the requirements that I put in, if that's going to work for me or not. So it's exposing me to a few new things that I probably hadn't thought of as a solution to the problem. But I've still got to make sure that and people watching this or listening to this, they got to make sure that their team is able to articulate the problem appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's key. So would you say that's the most frustrating challenge in either growing like as you're going and working with your clients, either on the pro website creators and the Hire My VA, or helping business owners like adopt that tech and educate them on it? Or is it something else? What would you say is the most frustrating challenge on that side?
For me, on the website perspective, is to be able to have the client sit down for just 30 minutes or an hour and tell me about their business. That's all I want them to do. I want to be able to do the content, and then we can record that, adjust it, use AI to assist us in creating the content for the website and then let them go through it. So that's one aspect of it. They're just so busy that they can't sit back and think that, man, my website's my 24/7 salesperson. It's up there all the time. It's something I can refer people to. It saves me time after time after time. I can educate my clients on it, and they don't necessarily value it. Part of that is because they're too into the executing on everything day to day. And I think that's something that a lot of business owners and a lot of managers have got to sit back and say, I just need to take a little bit of time to think.
Yes. Because you get so caught up on all, you know, there's so many things, there's so many emails, there's so many meetings that you may have to attend. There's so many little things. And I think that's the key part of what's, even for myself as a, being the leader, I have to kind of constantly think, what am I putting my time to help move the needle? And right. I think, that's the part where I think all we're trying to make adjustments to is, I think you're absolutely correct on that, because there's so many things. What are the key three most important things that need to be done on a week to week, like to move it forward, whether it's outreach, whether it's, you know, refinement, whether it's implementation of a new feature or something, so forth. How are we moving forward rather than codding into that day to day, as you said? So I'm sure with Hire My VA, especially of what you've said, that's where your part, where you're helping them to over time eliminate that, so they could focus on that and
have. Have you seen? I think it was, I mentioned Stephen Covey though, on The Speed of Trust. That's the son, but the older one who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Thinking. I think he talked about the urgency and important matrix. I think it's maybe the Eisenhower matrix. Have you seen that before?
Heard of it, but I could like tell a little bit more to our like on it for.
Yeah. So the idea is that we've got, you know, an X axis horizontal and a Y axis vertical, and one axis is urgency and one axis is important. Okay. So at the top end, you've got high importance or low importance on the lower end. On the other axis, you've got high urgency and lower urgency. So what you want to do is you want to move yourself to doing tasks that are high importance but low urgency, right? And so the worst thing that you can do are tasks that are low importance and high urgency. But see, this is one of the things that I don't think a lot of people talk about, though, is when you get stuck into doing the urgent things, you get like a little dopamine hit in your brain, right? Like, hey, I'm crossing things off. I have my checklist. I actually print it out, old school. But I print it out and it feels good to check this thing off, right? So there's a little bit of a dopamine hit. And a lot of times urgent things that you have to take care of will not take a ton of time, but then you can just cross them off. And it's like, wow, I feel so productive. I got 10 things done. But then those were urgent things, but you didn't get anything that's important done during the day. And so you got to realize that it needs to be a brain shift. Here's another example. There's a book that I've recently read called by Dan Martell, Buy Back Your Time. I'm looking at my desk. And one of the things that he talks about is on the first hire that you should do as an owner or manager, whatever, is a general VA, but you got to get to where they manage your calendar and manage your email. So Solomon, question for you. Do you have anybody managing your email?
No, like she, partly.
Okay. That's good.
Partly. On that side, but even still, it's even Stella. She manages the email, but that's on our outreach side. But on the day to day with meeting with clients and so forth else, I'm having to use AI to help implement that, to help with follow up, or, you know, give me more insights on it. So I think that's the next step of it, is how can I leverage, you know, another assistant or you know, AI more effectively to be able to handle my email, because that's the key. Because you get so caught in, and what's the most urgent, what most important pieces rather than the urgent parts.
And we love to say, people talk about inbox zero. Oh, I got inbox zero. I'm so excited. Well, it's that urgency part of our brain. How important is it to your business or your your volunteer nonprofit organization, or to your volunteer life, whatever you're doing, how important is it to get to inbox zero? What's important is to have a system, something like that. Maybe it's AI. For me, I have somebody in the Philippines looking at my emails, and they put them into a certain category for me. And those are the ones that I concentrate and look at. So that way I'm able to use my time to execute other things and minimal time on my email.
Right. And so with that on the side, because of, you know, do you think that it should be more of a mix between the Hire My VA and the AI? Like, what for entrepreneurs and for ones that are getting more on the leadership that want to stay away, where do you see is the best balance, that cohesiveness to be able to do that, to get to that inbox zero, as you said?
But yeah, it's, my email is a little bit different than others. If you totally rely on Google or Gmail or the Google Cloud Suite or Microsoft, you can probably do it faster than I'm doing, and maybe have some of their automated tools do it. And you're going to have to realize that either way you go, you just have to realize that they're going to miss something every now and then. Well, you train them well, the stuff that they're going to miss is going to be minor, when it, or even if it is major, somebody's going to re-email you and you just say, oh, I apologize, I didn't see the email, or something like that. But what I was thinking though the other day, talking to a client, is that, you know, we talk about the first hire that you may want to do is like a general type of VA, but I don't know how true that is anymore. I'm almost wondering, Solomon, now this is something that we may be pushing and experimenting with, is you want to hire somebody that their job is to help your organization be more efficient using AI.
Yes. And I think that's the biggest piece of, and that's where I really strive for, because I feel like enterprises with these build outs, you know, a lot of folks, sometimes I'm used to having to build out these AI agents for these companies. But now, and this is why I shifted over to work with the, you know, small to medium business, what Solonix is doing, is really, as you said, how to teach folks and to educate and then be there for them to really utilize their, how do I implement it into my service, but not as the hype, but what are the outcomes? And that's where the strategy, this is where the architecting comes to mind, whether it's using a workflow like N8 or whether it's utilizing for lead, you know, all these different tools, as you said, you know, all of us are having it on, so you know, we have, everyone utilizes the same tools, but as you said, it's really, you want to sit down and understand that person's business and really look into what you're trying to do. What are your goals? What is, personally, are you trying to get away? Do you want to exit out of the company in 4 to 5 years? Is that the overall goal?
Right.
So then we can move on. And then me as a partner, as someone providing a service and as partner to you, that's, I can keep that in mind and tailor that specifically to that, to get to that goal.
Oh yeah. And in fact, you saying that, one of the things that I wrote down in preparation for this is, wait a second. I'll save that to the end. I think you have a last question. I'll save that to the end. I agree. It's, you know, and as you're talking, I'm thinking there's sometimes though you don't know if a tool is really going to help them. For example, they may have an e-commerce site and you're going to implement some kind of a chatbot, an automatic chatbot. Well, maybe you don't know if your customer base is really going to talk to them or resonate with them. Well, implement it anyway. And then give it a month. Make sure you've got some metrics or a way to look at the analysis and see what happens. And then decide afterwards. So sometimes you just have to say, we're going to try it. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. And then we'll see by actual real data if it's really helped us or not.
Exactly. And I've even had that with previous, it was about a month ago with a previous client we were working with, we were utilizing a tool and it didn't go through the way that we intended, but I feel like because I was upfront, and because I was saying, this is not the way it went, but here are some options that I think we're going to go through. And I think that transparency and being up and being that proactive helps and realize, yeah, you know, as we go through, as we do this testing, that's, you know, that's what you enrich that relationship, you know, that trust, as we said. you know, the speed of trust on the business. So, you know, with the day, you know, with, you know, looking ahead, you know, where do you want the Pro Website Cares and the IRMIVA to be in the next, you know, 6 to 12 months, by the end of the year or by this time next year?
Yeah, we want to grow, of course, recurring revenue as well. But I think we just want to be, and this is what I would advise everybody, other companies, we really need to figure it out more. We just want to be more efficient and we want to grow kind of organically. I'm not going to do ads or anything like that. So, because one of the things you have to think about is you have to break your business down into three different compartments, right? You think about the high level. You got leads coming in, right? Then you got sales. And then you've got operations or fulfillment, mm-hmm. right? Predictable revenue talks about that. So you got those three things. You got to start thinking, okay, well, if I want to grow my business, which one do I focus on? That's one thing to think about. But then the second thing, assuming you want to grow it, you've got to see, okay, what if I triple my leads overnight? Can my sales team handle it? What if I triple my sales? What do I have to do in my operations? Not that you have to do it right away, but you have to be prepared and say, okay, in 3 months or 6 months, we're going to triple our leads. That means it's going to double our sales based upon our funnel and our KPIs. All right. So we're going to either team, we're going to either have to double the rate that we can do, put out widgets or for me, do websites. We got to double the rate or we got to hire more people. Let's talk about it. Not that we have to implement it right now, but we got to be prepared for it. Because if you double leads and double sale or triple leads, double sales, and you can't have your operations handle that, you're going to hurt your reputation.
Yes.
And word of mouth is so important. So you better be prepared for whatever you want to do. So any kind of growth that we're going to do we just want it to be gradual. I love being able to have a few team members and have stable income, because it doesn't happen for a lot of folks. Stable income for them. Yeah.
I think on that side is, and that's where I've learned, is I have to be thinking ahead. I need to bring in another assistant or another team member in the team. I don't want to do it right when I have the new client. I need to see it. So when the wave of new clients hit, I've already added that person in. So it's, again, it's thinking ahead on that side. So this is great, Dave. I think that's a key insight, it's especially for me, but you know, voicing that is, again, it's just really hitting on the key tenets just as a leader and as an entrepreneur that we need to kind of keep in mind on. So, you know, if you could solve like one major, you know, challenge for your entrepreneurs that you serve, you know, what would it be?
I would say the biggest challenge is I want them to get away from the urgency and go, we talked about it, and get to the importance, be able to let them spend more time on what's important. And then, of course, doing what they love, because it's the small businesses. I mean, that's the backbone of the country. It's like one of my mentors said, don't build a business that you end up hating. And you got to be careful, because that thing that you originally are good at and love, if you're not careful, you're going to hate it. And so that's where I want to see entrepreneurs think. I want to see them hire team members and to make sure that they understand what they really love about their business, what they love doing, what really floats their boat and gets them up in the morning.
Yeah. And I think that's key. So with that, Dave, you know, on that, you know, that last the questions is, if you had like the magic wand and kind of going into one of the major challenges, and if you could eliminate any bottleneck or for either for your business or for your clients, what would you say that you would utilize AI for to help eliminate or to improve upon your day to day?
You know, I think the magic wand would be to have AI better understand my business and my goals, and to be able to output what I ask it, filtering those outputs through my goals. So in other words, I might ask it, hey, you know, I need this piece of code to do this. And then it might ask me a question. Well, guess what, Dave? You've asked me this type of question 5 times in the last 2 days. Are you spending too much time on tactical stuff, strategy? Could you really delegate this to somebody? just as a little check. And it wouldn't happen, you know, very often, of course.
Yeah.
But just like a little reminder, just exactly like a really good assistant or team member would do, that knows you, that knows the business, they'd say, you know, are you really spending your time, Dave, on what's going to move the needle? Are you really spending your time on the most important thing in your business? You've told me it was this, but you're not doing it. So almost like having AI be a little bit of an accountability partner, because people don't want to have accountability in their lives at all, because it's hard. It calls you out and you have to admit failure, and you have to admit that you're not doing as well as you think. But that's the way to grow, and that's the way to get stuff done better and faster and to make a bigger difference for folks.
Yeah, and I think that that's the key on having, because now AI, it becomes more of a yes man rather than, as you put it, to like, are you really doing it the way? And that's where I need to love to have, and that's where sometimes I even have to implement it into the prompting. Like, I don't want a yes man. I want you to really challenge me on these things, and I have to like put that in, because I don't want you to always agree with me. I want you to have me think something different and say, oh, I never thought of it that way. I really want to go around that approach. So.
Absolutely.
Language. I love that, Dave. You know,
no, I was going to say, it's just like if you hire people right and you have the right culture, you're going to get people on your team that are going to disagree with you. They will disagree with you, and they'll maybe have a better way or think you're going down the wrong path. But the problem is they've got to have the freedom in your organization to be able to voice that without fear of repercussions.
Yes.
A lot of business leaders, managers say that they want to have that kind of a feedback, that they want to be that open and honest. But when it comes down to it, they really don't. And they will not take action on what the person says. Now, of course, there are times you have to say, you know, I disagree, and you're just going to have to trust me. And that's okay. But that can't, if you start saying that all the time to your team members who are giving you new ideas and thoughts, then there's something wrong. You need to either look at yourself or you need to look at your team member. Maybe they're not as good as you think they are. So it's that same kind of attitude if you're going to have ChatGPT or Gemini or Perplexity or whoever do that for you, you still have to take that same kind of attitude.
Yeah, and it's what we've implemented. The part of else is kind of what I implemented from my experiences, where we kind of utilize a term called agile and in the IT world, or Scrum, where utilize these points of if you're aware of it. It's, I like to think of it as, you know, when I break it up into phases, when I work with a certain part with a client to help them grow, I keep it into phases. So at the end of phase one, let's say, you know, we go through, I say, let's go through a retrospective. And let's be, and even with my team, I look at a retrospective, and that's where the pieces, like, what has worked? What has not done well? And then where can we get, and that gives it that opportunity and breaks it up to like what has, and that gives the opportunity like, well, we could have done better. I was really slammed and I just felt like, so moving forward, can we maybe adjust the priorities? And so I can have more time, because I want to focus with my team to be able to deliver first, both internally and for the client. So I think as what you said, it's the accountability part and being open, have that, but you know, again, giving that help and really having that open communication.
So an easy way that people can start implementing something like that, it's what you call a postmortem, or in the military, I've worked with a lot of military folks through my business partner. It's called an AAR, after action review, right? You're familiar with all those things. And
yeah, I went to the military college, so I kind of
love you. Oh, did you? Well, yeah. Well, the way that we've done it in our business at Pro Website Creators, we do it at the end of every project. We really should probably do it more often than that. But we do it at the end of every project, and we say, okay, what went well, right? Think about, you're young, Solomon. Do you know Clint Eastwood? You've heard of him?
Of course.
Okay.
You're a legend.
Yeah. So think about the good, the bad, the ugly, right?
Yes.
Right. So just in your mind, think about a postmortem, the good, the bad, the ugly. And the way we define it as good is what went well, right? That we'd want to, you know, make sure we repeat. The bad is what went wrong, but like we didn't have any control over. Oh, the fact that we had to delay schedule because one of my key team members got in an auto accident and is in the hospital for a week. Well, it's bad, but what can you do about it, right? And then, of course, the ugly is what went wrong and you could do something about it. But then you got to come back and say, okay, what are the changes that we're going to make after that? But then you got to have somebody that follows up on that. Because a lot of times you will do that. You go through that process and you have these list of things you're going to change, but nobody follows up on that. And then you're not any better than you were.
Yeah, no. And I think that's sometimes it's used as a checklist versus how do we implement it into our next workflow or how do we implement this? And so I think that's, as you said, that is going to be key. And I love that the good, the bad, you know, of that movie.
The bad and the ugly.
Yeah.
That's a good way to think about it.
Oh, yeah. It makes sense. It makes complete sense. And then having to implement it. And then what are the action steps after we have the retro, what the good and bad, the ugly, what can we think of to implement into the next sprint, so to speak?
Right. Right.
So I have that.
Right.
I love that on that side. So, you know, Dave, thanks so much for coming on to the show. Like, where can people find you to learn more about Pro Website Creators, Hire My Video, or even just your journey as, you know, as a leader in space?
Yeah, the easiest way to do it, I mean, if you're interested in the virtual assistant type of things, just go to hiremyva.com. Got a bunch of information there, FAQs, you can contact us there. And then it's dave@hiremyva.com. Or if you want to know more about me personally and what we're doing for web development, just go to prowebsitecreators.com or you can email me at dave@prowebsitecreators.com.
Perfect. I love it. Dave, thanks again for coming on to the show. To everyone, thanks for listening. We'll check you next time on the next episode. Everyone take care.
All right. Thanks, Solomon. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more No Fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at solonox.net.